and welcome back to the ball game. And good morning to Adam Blackley. Thanks for getting up nice and early for us, Adam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, no worries at all. I'm always up this early.
So. Good morning, Adam.
How you going, mate?
Good, buddy. Good.
Now, look, let's start. I mean, obviously, there's the Adam Blackley story goes back a fair bit, but for the moment, I'd just like to start 2003. Does it seem like 14 years ago that you're in the Red Sox organisation?
It is definitely feel like 14 years ago. Absolutely. Had some good memories.
Yeah, I'd be interested in some of those lasting memories that you've got there.
Pardon?
Some of those lasting memories, if you can just share some of those with the listeners, it'd be great.
Oh, just signing a contract when you're 17 years old and kind of just that feeling of not knowing what's ahead is, I remember getting onto that plane for the first time and thinking, oh, what am I getting myself into? But, you know, you get over there and it's great. You're just mixing it with all the big boys. It was so good.
When you're in the minors, Adam, you had an experience with Dustin Pedroia after he was first signed by the Boston.
So my second year over there, I was playing in the South Atlantic League and he'd just been drafted. He was our first pick. And I just remember him, we're all playing cards in the clubhouse and this little fella walks through the door and we're all sitting looking at each other going, who's this guy? And turns out he was our first pick and he didn't stay with us long. He played with us for about 3 weeks and got moved up. So he was pretty good, obviously.
So how many years were you over in the States, Adam?
I was with Boston Red Sox for 5 years, I think, and played with an independent team 1 year after that. So 6 years, I think, all up.
What was the highest level you got to with Boston?
I was playing in the Carolina League, which is high A, so, not quite the big leagues, but I did my best.
I think the Carolina League's the one made famous in Bull Durham. I think that's the league they played in.
I think
in the
you
movie.
Might be right there.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually. Obviously, the Durham team in the movie, though, is AAA.
And what do you reckon, because there'll be a few young guys listening in, heading off to their games this morning, and with the dream of spending a few years in the States, what are the major things you think you gained from that? Because that's the sort of thing we've chatted to Brendan Wilson about a few times over the years. Just wondering your perspective on that, what you actually feel you've taken back with you from your years in America.
Just to always work hard. You just got to be in the right place at the right time and lots of doors can open up for you. You just need one person to like you and you get a shot at go over and the States, so always play hard and never know who's watching.
And of course, 2011, I think it was, with the Aces. Was that are they fond memories like the American ones, or was it a little bit difficult because they've had good years and bad years there?
Oh, every year was a fond year with the Aces. Whether we were winning or we weren't winning, it was great bunch of boys that we were playing with and we always had a lot of fun. There's definitely a couple of highlights where we got up with the Aces and won a few flags. Every year was as good as each other.
And, of course, you also played on the national team for quite a number of years. What would you say was one of your biggest highlights playing on the Australian team?
I think growing up and watching the Olympics and seeing Cuba and how good they were and then finally getting a chance to pitch against Cuba myself. I think that was probably one of the highlights. I was lucky enough to pitch against them in Taiwan and did pretty good too. So I think after that game was when I actually realised, you know what, I'm actually not bad. I can compete with these guys. So that was a huge outing for my career, I guess, against Cuba.
Was that prior to you signing your pro contract or whilst you
were playing? No, that was actually after I got released.
Okay.
I made the senior Australian team and I think it was my first time playing on feel like the years, 3 or 4 years after I was released, I was probably at the top of my game. And, yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting you mentioned before about right place, right time, and some of that sort of marries in there, doesn't it? That got released before you'd actually reached your best, and then have an outing like that against Cuba. It's sort of unfortunate sometimes that the organisations maybe don't just persevere that little bit longer, particularly with left-handers. Money in the bank.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it just goes to show how cutthroat it is over there. I'm definitely not the only one that's been released to just about everyone does, actually. So a lot of guys only get over there for a year or two. So I guess I got 5 years. That's better than most.
Indeed.
Did you find out that after you got released and you threw the game against Cuba, you felt a little bit of pressure come off you and sort of a bit more freedom and thought, well, I've sort of had my shot, I'm done, but let's go and let's see what's in the future?
Yeah, I guess in a way. I think the year after I played football, that was when I kind of thought, you know what, I'm going to have some fun now. And I went and travelled over to Amsterdam and played in the Dutch league. And that was just a bit of fun, really. It was a good life experience for me. That was a lot of fun. The baseball was okay. It wasn't great. But the memories, they were pretty good.
Because you've come back now, and then you took on the coaching role at Cheltenham, and you sort of developed the side. You took a side that was sort of just struggling a little bit, hadn't made the finals for a couple of years, and then you got them into the finals and almost took the pen of the way, except you ran into a side called Essendon. which unfortunately most sides in the last 5 or 6 years that run into Essendon sort of think, oh, we'll just be a bit player and sort of do our best. But you sort of developed a lot of the young kids too. You got the benefit of that junior program you got down there with the likes of young Inciondo, Holding, Max Barrett and those kids coming through. So you had a really good sort of core set to come through that should hold Cheltenham instead for a lot of good years.
Well, that's right. I was lucky to take over the reins when those kids were kind of just starting to become men and play with a bit of influence in the game, and we only got to see them for 1 year before they took off to college. But it was a good time to be around the club. And you know what, that was a little bit of a Cinderella story for us. We weren't really expected to even make the finals, and we just kept winning. And
that's usually Blackburn, a good way to get there.
Yeah, Blackburn just kind of, they were about 4 or 5 games up on us around Christmas time, and they just kept losing, and we snuck in there, and then we had that big upset against Melbourne in the best of 3 semi-final series. But you're right, we ran out of time.
I think you're being very modest about your contribution to the development of those young players. It's all very well to say that you inherited some guys at the right time, but I think your skills in managing that group shouldn't be underestimated in getting them to where they got to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, Jack and Max are back in college now, so we look forward to seeing them in the Rustlers uniform this summer.
Now, moving on to the present.
Yeah, Winterball at the moment.
You got the gig at
Forest Hill.
At Forest Hill, taking over from his lordly master sitting over here from the table.
And all of a sudden you've started winning that you got rid of Phil. Is that the story?
There's something in that, isn't there?
you took over last year. You managed to keep him in A grade for the first time, and which was...
I kept him in A grade the year before. Come on, Wolf.
But this year, you seem to have taken another step this year, and you're now sort of competing with the big boys, you might say, and actually putting a bit of a fight up them too, which is good to see.
Yeah, no, it's been great this year. I mean, last year was great as well. It was kind of a rough season last year. We had a few holes with our team. We knew going in over the summer season that we wanted to just recruit a couple of players and fill the gaps, and we were able to do that. And yeah, it paid dividends. We just every game. I don't think we expected to win 6 in a row, but we definitely knew we were going to be better this year. And we've got a little bit of momentum. We've beaten a couple of good teams, and we've just grown in our confidence. And we really feel like we can match it with anyone. So we're excited to see how this second half of the season turns out for us.
Having a look at your side, it looks like a fairly young side, because I know that, young Jack Daniel is one of the greatest names in baseball going around.
Yeah.
Which is normally called pretty loud around about 5 o'clock after every game. You got Ollie Dunn, you got Mitch Lay, you got Lee Bertrand, who's sort of coming back from a bit of a bad leg injury.
Yeah.
And you got some experience there with Ken O'Malley, you know, sort of floating around there doing a lot of work. You know, so you got a good mixture of youth and experience there.
We got a very good mix. Well, there's the three old guys, there's myself and Kenny, and then Lee's not that old, but he's got the presence of an old guy. He's a leader.
He's probably walking like an older guy at the moment.
That's right. And then after that, it drops right off to the young talent. And you look at Geordie Lay, he's only probably 21.
20. I don't think he's 21 yet, Buck.
Yeah, he plays like a 27, 28-year-old. And then his brother's just come back from 4 years of college. So,
yeah, well, that's a handy pick up to get, especially when you're sort of on that stretch of winning a few games.
Oh, absolutely. Even though they're young, they're definitely very capable. They've played a few seasons of, Division I baseball. And, yeah, it's good to see.
Now, today you've taken on North Borwen, and you guys are sitting third, and they're a game behind you and just out of the four. Pretty important match, really, this one, isn't it?
Well, I think they're all important. You just got to keep winning. This competition is so tight. I think, you look at second spot to about sixth spot, there might be
There's only a game between the whole lot of you.
Yeah, so every game is as big as the next, really. North Borwen, they played in the grand final last year. They've obviously got some arms, but it's going to be interesting. I think we can win. I'm confident.
Well, I think last time you played, you had a four-all draw, wasn't it?
And we were a little bit stiff that day with
Phil
rain coming at the wrong time and the umpire keeping us out in a torrent, and giving up the tying run while we were playing in that. We were a bit stiff not to get the 2 points.
That's right. We shouldn't have even been playing. It was coming down that hard that day.
Who's likely to be on the mound for North Borwen, would you imagine? And also, who's going to start for you guys?
Well, I'm sure Tyler Dale will probably get the ball. He's their ace. And for us, usually Bryce Taylor would be the starter, but he's got a exam today. So we'll start Jordan Bush. And
he's the young kid, isn't he?
He's
only about 17, 18?
No, he's 18.
19.
Yeah, because I remember coaching against him. The Frankston's, I mean, we had that combined sort of under 17 league.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we got pretty lucky. He came back and didn't play enough games to qualify for the finals. So that was a bit of a bonus for us. But no, he's a big talent, that kid.
Bushy's great. He pumps the strike zone. And, especially some of these games we've played in, he's been our closer, essentially. And he's come in and he's just pounded the zone. So, we look for him today to start and just throw lots of strikes and stuff to get plenty of ground balls. I think it'll be good for him too to get a longer outing under his belt.
Now, another big game, it's Ringwood, who are fourth, playing Heathmont on top. That's a huge game, that one too. Thoughts on that? I know Phil will, but have you got any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, my thoughts are that it's going to be a low-scoring affair. I think we're going to be seeing a 2-1, 3-2 kind of a game. Couldn't tell you who's going to win. I think they played a pretty close game last time.
Yeah, Heathmont won 3-2 in the first round of the season. So I agree absolutely with what you're saying. I think this will be potentially one-run game. Andrew Jones versus Sam Gibbons. So you've got two high-quality arms out on the mound.
And Heathmont lost last week too, didn't they?
They did. Heathmont got beat by Watsonia last week.
7-3 or something.
Wow. Yeah. So, which is what's compressed that. We sort of talk about one game between second and sixth. There's only a game and a half between top and sixth.
Yeah, that's right.
So the four's going to change every week through the back half of the season because depending on who's playing who wins, who loses, it's going to be really fluid and it's going to finish up getting down, I think, to the teams that can win more of the games against the other teams in the mix than they lose.
Yeah.
And not dropping, it's critical for anybody who wants to make the four, you don't drop a game against one of the bottom three. That I think could really put a nail in your coffin.
Well, that's really the whole crux of the season. You know, win the games you got to win, go 50-50 on the others, and you're going to finish up. You know, you should be in the four.
Hang on, So it looks like a really interesting one. And Heath.
By the way, I think Heath Mott will bounce back and win that.
Yeah. Okay, but if they actually did lose to Ringwood, they will probably lose top spot.
They'll go out of top spot because, unless something absolutely dramatic happens and Essendon can sort of turn a 9-game losing streak into a win against the second side, which, with no disrespect to Essendon, I can't see happening.
Yeah. Right, so 17 versus 1 in the AFL, anything can happen 2 weeks in a row.
A little bit different here, boy.
So, Adam, you must, when you get to play Essendon in winter, you must think, here's a chance to actually get a win up against an Essendon side. Do you reckon teams have that sort of feeling because of their strength and dominance in the summer?
Pardon, what's that?
I'm just wondering, when you get to play Essendon in the winter and they're not as strong as they are this year, do you sort of say, you beauty, we owe this team a bit from the summer? Do you think there's an element of that at all when they play Essendon in winter when they're struggling?
Nah, I don't think so. I think that Essendon summer and winter are two different outfits, and we come to play against them in the winter knowing that we're not going to get the summer players. I think we look at research and think they've probably got more Essendon players, so we don't really think about that too much. But
it's very nice of Essendon to actually spread their talent out during the winter instead of keeping them all in one spot, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's always good to beat Essendon, though. Doesn't matter if summer or winter.
The other big game today, I think, or important game, we won't necessarily call it a big game, is Greensboro versus GMBC.
GMBC got a win.
Lose today, they drop out of the race. I mean, as it is, I think they've probably got the job in front of them to make the four. But if they lose today, they're cooked.
Lesser in contact, and must be one more game we missed.
Doncaster and Research. Doncaster and Research
should win.
Should win that and win that comfortably.
Adam, just. On the coaching, which we touched on before, we've only got another minute or so before we go. Is it all that you expected it to be? You've done a bit of coaching now. When you've gone into it, you would have had some thoughts in your head. I'm just wondering whether it's turning out as enjoyable as you expected.
Yeah, I think definitely. It is what I expected. I think it helps when you're playing as well while you're coaching. So that definitely helps. I think once you're done playing, I think that'll be a bit different. It's definitely what I expected it to be.
One quick question before we finish up. Down the track a bit, what's the future looking like, the two Blackleys getting together?
Well, you're going to have to talk to his wife about it. Come out here.
Good answer. defer to a higher authority every time. Well done, Adam. Adam, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. We've certainly enjoyed that time, and we hope you have a great second half of the season.
Thanks a lot, guys. Well,